How much of your trash do you recycle? Well, if you are like the average American, about 26% of what you throw away ends up in the blue recycling bin. If you live in Indianapolis, it is a very different story, because Indianapolis is one of the most wasteful cities in America. Just 4% of its trash is recycled each year. And according to the Indianapolis Star, it's the biggest city in the country without a universal curbside recycling program. As part of our series, Going to Waste, we're going to try to find out what's holding them back. And let's start with Katie Robinson. She's director of the Office of Sustainability for the City of Indianapolis. Katie, welcome.
Thank you so much, Peter. It's a pleasure.
And what about that statistic, 4% recycling rate in Indianapolis? Do you see it as a black eye for the city?
Not necessarily. I actually see it as an opportunity for us to grow a program that fits, given the climate that we're experiencing right now in the United States.
The way it works in your city now is people either have to go somewhere to drop off recycling, or they could pay a subscription fee to have someone come and pick it up off their curb. But why doesn't Indianapolis have a blue bin on the curb of every house?
No, that's a fair question. And we have about 267,000 households in Marion County. We're geographically huge, 403 square miles. And so for the past 30 years, we've been operating with a fee that has stayed flat for the last 30 years. It's $32 a year for our citizens to throw their stuff away. And if you are a subscriber to our recycling program, it's about $8 a month. And we have about 10%, so about 26,600 households that actually do participate in that curbside recycling program.
But apparently that's a disincentive because your recycling rate is very low.
So in fairness, we add a layer, right? So if you want to subscribe, they have to contact Republic, who is our subscription provider. So it just adds a layer that people have to make that effort to call someone to add in that additional service in order to recycle.
Well, what do you think the environmental impacts of that low recycling rate have been?
So we have seen, we actually just completed the city's greenhouse gas inventory, and our emissions from waste is continuing to grow rather rapidly. In fact, it was kind of striking to see that increase. And so we are very concerned, and it's one of the incentives that the city sort of sees is bringing in a curbside recycling program, is we need to get some of that waste processed accordingly.
And those emissions, are they from methane coming from a landfill, or is it from particulates coming out of your incinerator?
So that's a fair question. I would say that that's primarily going to be from our landfill. So we also have to address the food waste, too. So in addition to our commitment to adding curbside recycling by 2025, our hope is to also add, and I know this sounds a little bit redundant, but add at least a subscription. So at minimum, offer a subscription composting service to our entire program.
So universal curbside recycling in Indianapolis by 2025, so that's still 6 years away. Why is it taking so long to do something like that? I'm sure people are going crazy that they can't recycle that peanut butter jar that they just toss in the trash.
Peter, if you recycle your peanut butter jar, more power to you. I can never get it completely clean.
Fair enough.
No, so yes, we all want to flip that switch tomorrow, but we need to be really strategic about how we introduce recycling in a very successful way. We could flip the switch tomorrow, have a recycling program. We may fail at it. We need to make sure that given the issues that we're dealing with China, we are trying to look at the full holistic implementation of such a program.
Okay, we're going to talk about China in just a minute, but let's bring in Allison Mitchell. She is the executive director of the Indiana Recycling Coalition. And Allison, first of all, is it like this across the entire state of Indiana, or is this something unique to the city?
So this is kind of unique to the city of Indianapolis. There are other communities in the state of Indiana that have a more robust and a more successful recycling program. I think that the legacy that we have with the incinerator here in Indianapolis has acted as a disincentive for Indianapolis to implement universal curbside recycling and therefore have a robust program, you know, on par with national standards in terms of the rate.
So you're referring to the complaints over the years that have been that Indianapolis has this contract with a company that burns the garbage from the city, and that the contract requires the city to essentially supply a certain amount of trash every year. And so you got to feed the beast, so to speak. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, and those restrictions on the contract minimums for the amount of waste to be sent to the incinerator are no longer in place. But yes, that contract is in existence until 2025, and that's why 2025 is kind of the magic date in terms of making this, you know, significant shift in the way that this community views and values its waste to get it out of the trash and put more into the recycling bin, at least the proper recyclables.
Well, what about that? Does this make people angry?
We take phone calls and we get confusion, perplexion, and we do hear some anger from people that, especially when they move from other parts of the country and they come to Indianapolis, they expect to see the same level of services that they had in other cities of our size. And when they come here and realize that they have to pay extra and take an extra effort to recycle, they're frustrated.
And I think also, too, with that, recycling does tend to look different in every single city. And so I think that's also the level of frustration that people are experiencing, is that what you may be able to recycle here might look different in Los Angeles or San Francisco. And so I think that's also a level of frustration that we hear.
Okay. Katie Robinson, speaking of that, I was in Baltimore last month speaking with the director of public works, Rudy Chow. Like many U.S. cities, he's dealing with the fact that China has recently decided to stop taking U.S. recyclables. Let's listen to a little bit of our conversation.
The whole recycling market is in somewhat of a chaos right now. It's because the China situation, and where we used to actually get paid to recycle, we're now actually paying someone else to haul away our recyclables. And so that economic equation has changed.
Baltimore is now paying hundreds of thousands of dollars extra every year to recycle. As you know, some cities are just shutting down their programs in response to this policy shift. How do you start a brand new program under these conditions?
I see this as an opportunity, right? Like, timing actually works in our favor in this instance, where we don't have a universal program in place. And so given the challenges that are existing throughout this country, we can now layer in those factors and make sure, again, that we're heavy on education on the front end so that we're trying to lower those contamination rates once we start this program. But then also, we are so incredibly fortunate in Indiana to actually have processors located within the state.
Recyclers.
Yes. We do. We have the end markets that most other states don't have, and they were much more reliant upon China to take the physical materials. State of Indiana never did and still does not ship its materials to China. We have a manufacturing base in the state of Indiana, and we have the processors that are the step in between your blue bin and those manufacturing facilities.
So you're saying the rates that other cities have seen go up would not affect the city of Indianapolis?
Well, the part of the China ban that all of us are influenced by and we cannot escape is the value of the materials, because there's such an oversupply of those materials in the United States and other countries as well. As a result of the China ban, those depressed market values for those commodities are something we all have to deal with. But we have the proximity of the end markets and the processors here within the state of Indiana, and they are actually really hungry for our materials. And that's why a recycling program in the city of Indianapolis is really well positioned to be successful, because we can supply those manufacturers, and we can get fantastic rates because we are the crossroads of America. We've got logistics down in the state of Indiana.
Katie Robinson, as the director of the city's Office of Sustainability, do you think you can change the culture of a city that's resisted recycling for so long?
So that's our number one priority. I think our hope, Allison and I both feel this way, that our hope is that we can also influence people to consider the amount of consumption and just start looking at how they are what they're consuming and try to reduce that as well.
How do you manage to recycle? Do you?
I do recycle. Good. It would look really bad, Peter, if the director of sustainability didn't recycle.
That's why I asked.
Yes, absolutely. I recycle.
On a subscription service?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do try to separate my paper so that it doesn't get contaminated.
All right. That's Katie Robinson. She's Director of Sustainability for the City of Indianapolis, and Allison Mitchell, Executive Director of the Indiana Recycling Coalition. Thanks for speaking with me. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
Your time and your interest.
And by the way, according to the Indianapolis Star, nearby Chicago isn't doing much better. That city has a 10% recycling rate. Memphis and Louisville are at 40%. And on the West Coast, San Francisco is king thanks to a robust recycling and composting program. The city's landfill diversion rate is a whopping 80%. Of course, all these numbers may change now that China has upended the industry with its decision to stop taking U.S. recyclables. If you have an interesting story about waste where you live, let us know at hereandnow.org.